Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday. Today, Chris will be leading us in worship.
And Linda Monroe speaking, who will continue with the Dressing for the Fight series, looking at the Shield of Faith.
We're really excited to be together this morning as church family, even though we can't physically be together.
So let's go for it and expect to meet God.
Good morning and welcome to our Go Live Sunday. I'm Matt Coombs and I co-lead the church here at Welton with Matt Hebditch. And I want to start this morning by sharing with you about a couple of things happening really soon, which we're really, really looking forward to. On Wednesday the 10th of February, we have an Enfest craft evening on Zoom, which is for anyone aged 4 to 11. Please book in for this one by this Thursday, the 4th of February, so that we can get everything out in time and delivered to you. This is one of those real deadlines, not a Black Friday deal deadline, a real one, so that Jenny and the team can get everything organised. So please do join in. More details can be found in the Now and Next Week page on the church website. The other thing which we're really excited about is our second Alpha on Zoom, which will be starting in just over 3 weeks' time. For anyone new to Alpha and not sure what it's all about, we spend 10 sessions together looking at questions about faith, life and God. Each week there's a video talking about a different topic and we have a really honest conversation about what we've watched. There's plenty of space on Zoom, so if you invite someone, you're welcome to come with them if you'd like to. It's fantastic that we already have someone thinking of joining us whose daughter did the last Alpha course we ran. So we know that it's great, so let's get thinking. Who are you going to invite to Alpha this time? Let's pray before we worship this morning. Lord, as we think more about the spiritual armour you've given us today, we pray that you would help us to be ready to share about you. Thank you that you have changed our lives and that you are living in each one of us who know you. We pray we'll know your heart for others to come close to you more and more. Amen.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be sharing with you this morning. I'm going to be continuing the series on the armour of God, which we've been focusing on this month. As we begin, I just want to read these words from Ephesians 6 again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians was written with two main objectives. Firstly, that we might understand something of the dimensions of God's eternal purpose and grace. And secondly, that we might appreciate and rise to the goals that God has for his church. As has been mentioned earlier in the series, we believe Paul wrote these words probably whilst under house arrest in Rome. And I love how Paul, in this passage, uses the Roman soldier's armour, which would have been so relevant to him and the culture he was in, to explain the spiritual warfare we all face. So far in this series, we've looked at three parts of the armour that we need to keep in place. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And now we begin to look at the parts of the armour that we take up for specific use. This morning, we're going to focus on the shield of faith. So let me read the verse describing the shield again. Paul says this, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Paul begins the verse with the words, in addition to what we have already put on, or as the Greek says, in all things, we need to take up the shield of faith. The actual Roman shield was seen as very important, as it defended the whole man, and the soldier prized his shield above all other pieces of armour. He counted it a greater shame to lose his shield than to lose the battle. Therefore, he would not part with it, even if he was being threatened by the enemy. But he esteemed it an honour to die with his shield in his hand. This begins to show us the importance of faith. Just as the soldier literally had to take up the shield, so we also have to take up the shield of faith. So what were the Roman shields like? Well, they were huge. They were 4 feet high and 2.5 feet wide. They were rectangular and curved in shape, basically like a half barrel, and it covered the whole body and acted as a double armour. And they were sometimes referred to as a gate or a door. The shield was made of wood and then covered with leather, which, when it was soaked in water, was literally used to put out flame-tipped arrows of the enemy. The shield could also be linked together with other shields to form a complete shell to cover themselves, both above and at the sides, and this was known as a testudo or tortoise formation. With this covering, they could attack a city's wall and be protected from the enemy's advances. So the shield was not just a form of defence, but a form of attack as well. And this begins to set the scene for what Paul was explaining. The shield defended the whole man, just as faith covers every part of us as Christians. It acts as a shield against the enemy's lies, the doubts that he feeds us, and the fears that we face. But what is faith? Martin Luther King Jr. describes faith as taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. Hebrews 11 says faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. For faith to exist, I believe there has to be three main components comprising of knowledge, belief, and trust. For us to have faith in something, we have to have knowledge about it. Facts act as a foundation. For us to have faith in Jesus, we have to know who he was, why he came, and what he did. So we have to come to the understanding that he was the Son of God, that he came because of his immense love for us, and he died and rose again, providing a way to restore our relationship with the Father through the forgiveness of sins. But knowing isn't enough. I can know something, but not believe in it. I can know the historical truth of Jesus, but is there enough evidence for me to believe it is true? And if I do believe, do I trust him? Trust is based largely on evidence that is real according to our senses and to human reason. And it is often linked to a person. We build up trust with people. So if I believe in what I know about Jesus, do I trust him? If I trust him, am I willing to take a step of faith into the life he offers? You see, faith isn't blind or uninformed. Faith is the assurance that the things revealed and promised in Scripture are true, even though we can't see them. Faith is a deeply held belief that God keeps his promises. Again, the verse from Hebrews says, "Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." But faith doesn't stop there. You see, as we read the Bible, we see this incredible love story that starts right at the beginning of Genesis and reveals a God who stops at nothing to bring us back into relationship with himself. So God comes to us, he dies for us to save us, and he restores us. But then he says two fundamental words that change everything. He said it to his disciples and he says it to us. He says, "Follow me." You see, he doesn't come to us and say, "I am now with you in your life. If you need me, just call and I'll be there for you." Because then my life would still be about me. He beckons us to follow him. So God is at the centre and I become part of his amazing story. I've been really challenged by this recently. You see, is my focus on me and my life with God, or God and the life he wants me to follow in him? Malcolm Duncan, in his book Risk Takers, says we cannot truly step into the great story of God while at the same time remaining at the centre of our own. The risk is letting go of everything that defines us now, so that the God who knows us intimately can grab us. He's a part for us to play, but are we brave enough to accept it? Some of you may have heard the story of Charles Blondin, who walked across Niagara Falls on a wire. He did this many times, using various props, and on one occasion he crossed with a wheelbarrow. He then asked the crowd if they believed he could carry somebody in the wheelbarrow, and they all shouted out yes, because this was based on his previous success and their knowledge of it. So we have the knowledge and the belief. But when Blondin asked for a volunteer, there was silence. No one was willing to step forward. While they thought he could do it, they did not trust him enough to put their life in his hands. But then a voice piped up, "I will." The volunteer was his son. The son knew his father and knew he could trust him. Our faith and our willingness to step out in our faith is primarily based on how much we trust God. So we've established that our faith is based on believing that Jesus is the Son of God. But do we trust his character and believe in his promises? The Bible clearly states that God is good, loving, faithful, trustworthy, and always with us. But the Bible also says we will face troubles. You may not understand where you are or why you're going through the difficulties that you face. Your circumstances may seem unfair, even overwhelming. And you may question where God is in the midst of this COVID pandemic when so many people are ill and dying. And it's okay to ask these questions. But our circumstances do not change who God is. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to hold fast to the truth of who the Bible declares God to be. We're in a fight and the enemy wants us to doubt who God is, just as he did in the Garden of Eden when he tempted Eve to doubt God's goodness. But we need to take up the shield of faith and stand firm. Let's also remember that we do not fight alone. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who surround us and who can hold up their shields for us when we're struggling to help us through. Many of you know my story in that my husband was diagnosed with motor neuron disease and died in 2016 when my children were only 6 and 9. And whilst my husband was ill, my eldest son was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. I've walked through some really dark times, but I've always known God with me. I held on to the truth of who he is, not on the circumstances that I faced. And I always had an incredible bunch of ladies who stood with me and prayed. And in fact, many of them still do. They formed a testudo around me, not just to hide me from the enemy, but so we could advance forward. Romans 5 says, "We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts." You see, God didn't come just to give us a comfortable life. Jesus came to restore us to the Father, and then he left saying, "Now you be my hands and feet in this world. You carry on where I left off." He gave us the Holy Spirit to help, empower, and guide us. And he also said, "You will do even greater things than I've done." What a statement. What an incredible legacy he's given us. We follow a promise-keeping God. But the question is not will God keep his promises, but will we build our lives upon them? One of the biggest darts from the enemy that stops us and stops our faith is fear. In Matthew's gospel, we read of an occasion where the disciples were in a boat in a storm and Jesus was asleep. The disciples woke him in panic, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And Jesus replies, "Oh, you have little faith, why are you so afraid?" Scripture would seem to argue that their lack of faith is because of fear. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? The two questions are of equal importance to Jesus. Fear equals a lack of trust, and a lack of trust equals a lack of faith. While doubt is a matter of the head, fear is a matter of the heart. Fear holds us back from the full relationship that God calls us into. For those of you that have done the Keys to Freedom course, which I highly recommend, this next illustration will be familiar to you. Arianna Wilson, the director of Keys to Freedom, had a dream, and in her dream she saw herself sitting at a large round dining room table. Around the table were her guests, Faith, Hope, Love, Peace, Wisdom and Strength. They chatted, laughed and sang together like good friends. It was a scene of joy, fellowship and friendship. And as she continued to observe the scene, she became distracted by the figures at the bar. Each time she looked towards them, they moved towards her. Finally, Fear stood behind Faith and the entire scene froze. Both Fear and Faith looked at her and she heard God say, "There are no more seats at your table, and Faith will not share her seat with Fear. Choose your companions wisely." So who is seated at your table? The reality is fear doesn't go away. We will all find it on our journey. But rather than running from it and hiding from it, we need to accept we will come across it. We need to learn to conquer it using the shield of faith Paul describes. Fear can be a great motivator when it motivates us to trust God more than ourselves. We need to remember that courage is not the absence of fear, but the mastery of it. We need to remember that fear is an emotion and we're often led by emotions rather than being led by truth. But Jesus takes our fear seriously. Out of the 125 commands of Christ in the four Gospels, 21 are related to fear and courage, which makes it the one statement he made more than any other, which would indicate he was aware that this is a big issue for us. God doesn't ask us to have lots of faith. In fact, he says, "I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Faith happens as we take one small step out of our comfort zone and begin to depend on God rather than ourselves. Malcolm Duncan renames discipleship as followership. To follow a rabbi was known as taking on their yoke. In following the rabbi Jesus, we're invited to walk alongside him, listen to him, learn from him, and then to imitate him. We're called to walk in his footsteps. It's important to recognise that God values obedience higher than success. We may reach out to someone and be rejected. We may share a word that is not well received. But like a child learning to walk, God smiles and cheers us on when he sees us trying. So let faith rise up to respond to the needs we see before it is dampened by fear. Each small step leads to a bigger step until we see those mountains move. Let's take up our shield of faith and use it in the spiritual battle we are all in. I just want to finish with a quote from George Mueller, who said this: "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Indeed, this was true then and continues to be true today." May God bless you. May his spirit stir you. And may you take a step of faith this week.
Thanks, Linda. I'm always so inspired by the way Linda is living the things out which she shares about. If God's spoken to you this morning, it would be great to share it with your house group, and you're welcome to get in touch. If you're newish to Welton, we have a Welcome to Welton Zoom next Saturday, the 6th, which it would be really great to see that. Do get in touch if you'd be interested. The website details are in the chat now. Have a great week, and God bless.